Sarah Jenkins turned in her seat and smiled back at Jimmy. Civics lessons and biology lessons intermingled, hormones spoken of alongside the laws that governed their excesses. Sarah Jenkins was cute. Jimmy hadn't thought so at the beginning of the year, but now he was seeing it. Sarah Jenkins was cute and would be dead in just a few hours. Mrs. Pearson asked for a volunteer to read from the pact, and that's when Jimmy's mother came for him. She burst in unannounced, an embarrassment. The end of Jimmy's world began with hot cheeks and a burning collar and everyone watching. His mom didn't say anything to Mrs. Pearson, didn't excuse herself. She just stormed through the door and hurried among the desks the way she walked when she was angry. She pulled Jimmy from his desk and led him out with his arm in her fist, causing him to wonder what he'd done this time. Mrs. Pearson didn't speak. Jimmy looked back at his best friend, Paul, caught him smiling behind his palm, and wondered why Paul wasn't in trouble too. They rarely got in or out of a fix alone, he and Paul. The only person to utter a word was Sarah Jenkins.
"Your backpack!"
she cried out just before the classroom door slammed shut, a voice swallowed by the quiet. There were no other mothers pulling their children down the hallway. If they came, it would be much later. Jimmy's father worked among the computers and knew things. His father knew things before anyone else. This time, it was only moments before. There were others scrambling on the stairwell already. The noise was frightening. The landing outside the school level thrummed with the vibrations of distant and heavy traffic. A bolt in one of the railing stanchions rattled as it worked its way loose. It felt as though the silo would simply shake itself apart. Jimmy's mom took him by the sleeve and pulled him toward the spiral staircase as if he was still 12. Jimmy pulled against her for a moment, confused. In the past year, he had grown bigger than his mom, as big as his father, and it was strange to be reminded that he had this power, that he was nearly a man. He had left his backpack and his friends behind. Where were they going? The banging from below seemed to be getting louder. His mother turned as he gave resistance. Her eyes, he saw, were not full of anger. There was no glare, no furrowed brow. They were wide and wet, shiny like the times Grandma and Grandpa had passed. The noise below was frightful, but it was the look in his mother's eyes that placed fear in Jimmy's bones. "What is it?" he whispered. He hated to see his mother upset. Something dark and empty, like that stray and tailless cat that nobody could catch in the upper apartments, clawed at his insides. His mother didn't say. She turned and pulled him down the stairs toward the thundering approach of something awful, and Jimmy realized at once that he wasn't in trouble at all. They all were. Chapter 60. Jimmy had never felt the stairs tremble so. The entire spiral staircase seemed to sway. It turned to rubber, the way a length of charcoal appears to bend between jiggled fingers, a parlor trick he'd learned in class. Though his feet rarely touched the steps, racing as he was to keep up with his mother, they tingled and felt numb from vibrations transmitted straight from steel to bone. Jimmy tasted fear in his mouth, like a dry spoon on his tongue. There were angry screams from below. Jimmy's mother shouted her encouragement, told him to hurry, and down the staircase they spiraled. They raced toward whatever bad thing was marching upward. "Hurry," she cried again, and Jimmy was more scared of the tremor in her voice than the shuddering of 100 levels of steel. He hurried. They passed 29. 30. People ran by in the opposite direction. A lot of people in coveralls the color of his father's. On the landing of 31, Jimmy saw his first dead body since his grandpa's funeral. It looked as if a tomato had been smashed on the back of the man's head. Jimmy had to skip over the man's arms, which stuck out into the stairwell. He hurried after his mother while some of the red dripped through the landing and splattered and slicked the steps below. At 32, the shake of the stairs was so great that he could feel it in his teeth. His mother grew frantic as the two of them bumped past more and more people hurrying upward. Nobody seemed to see anyone else. Everyone was looking out for themselves. The stampede could be heard, a din of 1,000 boots. There were loud voices among the ringing footfalls. Jimmy stopped and peered over the railing. Below, as the staircase augured into the depths, he could see the elbows and hands of a jostling crowd jutting out. He turned as someone thundered by. His mother called for him to hurry, for the crowd was already upon them, the traffic growing. Jimmy felt the fear and anger in the people racing past, and it made him want to flee upward with them. But there was his mom yelling for him to come along, and her voice cut through his fear into the center of his being. Jimmy shuffled down and took her hand. The embarrassment of earlier was gone. Now he wanted her clutching him. The people who ran past shouted for them to go the other way. Several held pipes and lengths of steel. There were some who were bruised and cut. Blood covered the mouth and chin of one man. Fight somewhere. Jimmy thought that only happened in the deep. Others seemed simply to be caught up in it all. They were without weapons and were looking over their shoulders. It was a mob, scared of a mob. Jimmy wondered what had caused it. What was there to be afraid of? Loud bangs rang out among the footfalls. A large man knocked into Jimmy's mom and sent her against the railing. Jimmy held her arm, and the two of them stuck to the inner post as they made their way down to 33.
"One more to go," she told him, which meant it was his father they were after.
The growing throngs became a crush a few turns above 34. People pressed four wide where there was only room for two. Jimmy's wrist banged against the inner rail. He wedged himself between the post and those forcing their way up. Moving a few inches at a time, those beside him shoving, jostling, and grunting with effort, he felt certain they would all become stuck like that. People crowded in, and he lost his grip on her arm. She surged forward while he remained pinned in place. He could hear her yelling his name below. A large man, dripping with sweat, jaw slack with fear, was trying to force his way up the downbound side.
"Move!"
he yelled at Jimmy, as if there were anywhere to go. There was nowhere to go but up. He flattened himself against the center post as the man brushed past. There was a scream by the outer rail, a jolt through the crowd, a series of gasps, someone yelling, "Hold on!" and another yelling to let them go, and then a shriek that plummeted away and grew faint. The wedge of bodies loosened. Jimmy felt sick to his stomach at the thought of someone falling so near to him. He wiggled free and climbed up onto the inner rail, hugged the central post, and balanced there, careful not to let his feet slip into the 6 inches of space between the rail and the post, that gap that kids like to spit into. Someone in the crowd immediately took his place on the steps. Shoulders and elbows knocked into his ankles. He remained crouched there, the undersides of the steps above him transmitting the scrapes of shuffling boots from those overhead. He slid his feet along the narrow bar of steel made slick by the rubbing of thousands of palms and worked his way down the railing after his mom. His foot slipped into the gap by the center post. It seemed eager to swallow his leg. Jimmy righted himself, fearful of falling onto the lurching crowd, imagining how he could be tossed across their frenzied arms and slip out into space. He was half a circuit around the inner post before he found his mom. She had been forced toward the outside by the crowds.
"Mom!"
he yelled. Jimmy held the edge of the steps above his head and reached over the crowd for her. A woman in the middle of the steps screamed and disappeared, her head sinking below those who took her place. As they trampled her, the woman's screams disappeared. The crowd surged upward. They carried Jimmy's mom a few steps with them.
"Get to your father!"
she screamed, cupping her hands around her mouth.
"Jimmy! Mom!"
Someone knocked into his shins, and he lost his grip on the stairs overhead. Jimmy waved his arms once, twice in little circles, trying to keep his balance. He fell inward on the sea of heads and rolled. Someone punched him in the ribs as they protected themselves from his fall.
Another man threw Jimmy aside. He tumbled outward across an undulating platform of sharp elbows and hard skulls, and time slowed to a crawl. There was nothing but empty space and a long fall beyond the crowd, now packed five wide. Jimmy tried to grab one of the hands pushing and shoving at him. His stomach lurched as the space grew nearer. He couldn't see the rail. He heard his mother's voice, a screech recognizable above all the others, as she watched, helpless. Someone screamed to help that boy as he slid down the spiral of heads, rolling and grasping. That boy they were screaming after was him. Jimmy rolled into open space. He was thrown aside by those trying to protect themselves. He slid between two people, a shoulder catching him on the chin, and he saw the railing at last. He clutched for it, got one hand wrapped around the bar. As his feet tumbled over his head, he was twisted around, his shoulder wrenched painfully, but he kept his grip. He hung there, clutching the railing with one hand, and one of the vertical stanchions with the other, his feet dangling in the open air. Someone's hip pinched his fingers against the rail, and Jimmy cried out. Hands scrambled at his arms to help. But these people and their concerns were pushed upward by the madness below. Jimmy tried to pull himself up. He looked down past his kicking feet at the crowds jostling beyond the rail below him. Two turns down was the landing to 34. Again he tried to hoist himself, but there was a fire in his wrenched shoulder. Someone scratched his forearm as they tried to help, and then they too were gone, surging upward. Peering down his chest, between his feet, Jimmy saw that the landing to 34 was packed. A crowd spilled out of the jammed stairs and tried to shove their way back in again. Someone barged out of the doors to IT with a cleaning suit on, helmet and everything. They threw themselves into the crowd, silvery arms swimming amid the flesh. Everyone trying to get up, more of the bangs and shouts from down below, a sudden pop like the balloons from the bazaar, but much, much louder. Jimmy lost his grip on the railing. His shoulder was too injured to bear the weight any longer. He clutched the stanchion with his other hand as he slid down, sweaty palm on steel, adding one more squeal to the uproar of the mob. He was left clutching the edge of the steps at the base of the stanchion. With his feet, he tried to feel for the railing one turn below, but all he felt were angry arms knocking his boots aside. His busted shoulder was alive with pain. He swung down on one hand, dangling for an instant. Jimmy cried out in alarm. He cried out for his mother, remembering what she'd told him. Get to your father. There was no way he was getting back up on the stairwell. He didn't have the strength. There was no room. Nobody was going to help him. A surging crowd, and yet he hung there all alone. Jimmy took a deep breath. He dangled a moment longer, glanced down at the packed landing below him, and let go. Chapter 61. Two turns of the spiral staircase flew by. Two turns of wide eyes among the packed and crushing crowd. Jimmy felt the swoosh of wind on his neck grow and grow. His stomach flew up into his throat, and there was a glimpse of a face turning in alarm to watch him plummet past. Slamming into the crowd on the landing below, he hit with a sickening thud. The man in the silver suit, faceless behind his small visor, was pinned beneath him. People yelled at him. Others crawled out from underneath him. Jimmy rolled away, an electric shock in his ribs where he'd hit someone. A throbbing pain in one knee, his shoulder burning. Limping, he hurried toward the double doors as another person barged out, a bundle in their arms. They pulled to a halt at the sight of the crowd on the stairs. Someone yelled about the forbidden outside, and nobody seemed to care. Tomorrow there was to be a cleaning. Maybe it was too late. Jimmy thought of the extra hours his dad had been putting in. He wondered how many more people would be sent out for all this violence. He turned back to the stairs and searched for his mom. The screams and shouts for people to move, to get out of the way, made it impossible to hear. But her voice still rang in his ears. He remembered her last command, the plaintive look on her face, and hurried inside to find his father. It was chaos beyond the doors, people running back and forth in the halls, loud voices arguing. Yanni stood by the security gate, the large officer's hair matted with sweat. Jimmy ran toward him. He clutched his elbow to pin his arm to his chest and keep his shoulder from swinging. The sting in his ribs made it difficult to take a full breath. His heart was still pounding from the rush of the long fall. Yanni! Jimmy leaned against the security gate and gasped for air. It seemed to take a moment for the guard to register his existence. Yanni's eyes were wide. They darted back and forth. Jimmy noticed something in his hand, a pistol like the sheriff wore.
I need to get through, Jimmy said. I need to find Dad.
The officer's wild eyes settled on Jimmy. Yanni was a good man, a friend of his father's.